All right, let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts this morning and ask Him to be with these folks that need our prayers. And dear Father, we pause to thank You this morning for the blessings that have been shared, that You gave Brother Gardner's company some work. Thank You for watching over Brother Garcia, protecting him, Lord, in a dangerous situation. I thank You, Lord, for making life easier for Tim on the job there. Dear Lord, I want to thank You this morning for our country. We celebrate our nation's freedom and independence this Tuesday, and we rejoice in America's blessings, Your blessings on our country. Lord, although we realize we're not near the country that we used to be, God, we really have shamed, no doubt, ourselves in Your eyes. I still want to thank You for the years and years and years of freedom and liberty. Lord, I pray that You'll help us as Your people to do what needs to be done in our own hearts, to be right with You, to be an influence on this country the best we can for the generations yet to come. Lord, I pray that You'll be with the requests that were mentioned this morning. I pray for Dr. Garris. I pray that You'll please encourage his heart. God, touch him and bless him today. Lord, it sounds like nothing short of just divine healing will help him. If You choose to heal him, we would be thankful. Lord, if not, then may Your comfort be his. I do pray, dear Lord, for the others. I pray for little Elijah. I pray that You'll watch over him. I pray, Lord, for James Kent. I pray that You'll be with him in a special way. Father, we love and thank You for all Your blessings. Open us, our hearts, to Your word this morning. Give me strength. Give my voice strength. And bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, last week I rushed through point number 5 on this matter of God's love. I stripped a gear on Monday night. The guy that was doing the PA booth turned my microphone way down, and they didn't have any monitor speakers, and I couldn't hear myself. And I spent the entire time preaching, just pushing. And I've had a hoarse voice since. I'm right now about 10 times the sound that I had Thursday night. So I'm going to try to stay calm here during Sunday school so I can get through the Sunday morning service this morning. We're talking about this matter of God's love. I don't want to rush through it. I rushed through point number 5 last week. I'm going to go back to it and add a little bit more to it this morning. The whole purpose of this business of God's love is trying to help us, fellas. The title of the series this summer, Power for Living. The challenges that every man in this room faces just in life today. The challenges you face in your marriage. The challenges you face at work. The challenge we face to keep our hearts clean and right before God. You know, like the Bible says, to live open and honest before God and man. That's a big challenge. It really is. Not just man, but before God. The challenge that we have at work, the challenge we have with our children, God's power will help us face all of these challenges. And God's power, we sometimes think about, you know, praying for God's power and the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And that's true. We need that. We'll talk about that later on in the book of Ephesians, especially chapter 5. But the truth of the matter is, God's love gives us power. And that's where we've been starting. If we could ever grasp the reality of how much God loves us, the illustration or the analogy being this, that if you enjoy the love of a good wife, that love influences you. That love influences what you do and what you don't do. That love influences your behavior, even when you're away from your wife. You know, one of the reasons you're faithful to your wife is because of the influence of the love that she has for you. The love that your children have for you, okay? Love influences us, and God's love ought to influence us. We ought not just be influenced by God's commands. Now, we ought to be committed to God's commands, but we ought to be influenced by the fact how deeply He loves us. It ought to challenge us to be faithful. It ought to challenge us to be right, challenge us to do right, to live close to Him. We said several things about God's love. I said last week, God's love was not discouraged by our sin. Remember that He loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. God knew the worst from the first, and He chose to love us in spite of us. There was nothing about us that made God love us. We said, it's really not even apples to apples to consider your love for your children. You know, a man's a little different from a woman. Let me rephrase that. A man's a lot different from a woman, okay? Yeah. That woman carries that baby in that womb for 9 months. And there's something there I mean, even before that baby makes sees the light of day. Now, come on, be honest. You're excited about having a baby, but how emotionally are you attached to the life in that mother's womb? You know, listen, honey, put your head down here. Listen, and feel here. Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's, you know, but okay. You know, something about a man, and even after the baby is born, oh, we rejoice. You know, tears are shed. You're happy. You're thankful for the safe delivery of that little child. But men are so selfish. Until that baby does something where there's a reciprocal love, you know what I'm saying? It's hard. I'm not saying we don't love them, but you guys understand what I'm saying. I mean, there's just a difference. When that child reaches toddler age and starts saying, "Dad, Dad," and you can toss a ball back to you or go out to the swing set, or Dad begins to get attached, okay? Now, Mom loves that child pre-birth, as soon as the baby is born. You know, the child has done nothing to deserve or should I say merit Mom's love. The child has done nothing to reach out and grab Mom's love. Mom loves the child anyway. But that's still not apples to apples with God, because that child belongs to her, okay? That's her child. God loved us when we were not His children. Before we were His kids, when there was nothing lovely about us, nothing that merited His love, He knew the worst from the first, and still He decided to love us. And He knew that even after we would embrace His love and receive Jesus as Savior and in some fashion love Him back, He knew that we would wander, we would break His heart, we would backslide. Still He loved us with an unchanging, undying love. Okay? So God's love was not discouraged by our sin. That ought to encourage us. I want to be a good steward of that love. I don't want to abuse that. That doesn't make me want to see how much I can get away with. That doesn't want me to go out here and live on the very edges of Christian liberty, if there is such a thing. To understand that kind of love makes me want to be right up close next to Him and have a life that pleases Him, that honors Him, that exalts Him, that identifies with Him unmistakably. All right? That's what that kind of love ought to do for us. So God's love was not discouraged by our sin. Thank God for that. Number five, I said God's love in Christ passes normal comprehension. It passes normal comprehension. Look at verse number 19. And to know, it's kind of an ironic statement. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now that's kind of an ironic statement, isn't it? Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. So it's beyond normal comprehension. Look at verse number 14, back up. Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, here's a reason why I pray for you. I want Him to grant to you, in verse number 16, the riches of His glory. I want you to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And then verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Paul said, I'm praying for you, saints at Ephesus. And one of the things I'm praying for is that you could comprehend that which is humanly incomprehensible. I want the Spirit of God to do a work in your heart to open your understanding to something that's beyond human comprehension. What is beyond human comprehension? How deeply God loves us. We can't comprehend it with human understanding. It takes the Spirit of God doing something in our hearts to cause us to understand that. One of his requests was that they might be able to comprehend the love of God. Then he talked about the benefits that come from comprehending the love of God. He said, you're rooted and grounded in love. Rooted in love. We talked about the tree. You know, the mighty oak is an impressive tree to the eye. But it's not what's above ground that makes the oak what it is. It's what's below ground. It's what you can't see. It's that root system. Its length. Its breadth, its depth, it goes down into the soil, it draws the nutrients, the nutrition in the soil, it takes in the water, and brother, it's because of that root system that you can't see that makes that oak as mighty as it is to us visibly. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, Paul prayed that we would be strengthened and stabilized by the nourishment that is found in the love of God. That tree that fell over out here in the storm, when it fell over, it was broken off. It was just the I looked at it. It just had the trunk, the leaves, the branches, the limbs. It was broken off right at the root system right there. The root system was dead. It was already dead in the ground. Strong wind came, poof. Okay, because the tree was disconnected from the root system. Already died there. And the wind blew it over. No stability. No strength. All right? This is where we get our stability, fellas. This is where we get our strength. We need to be rooted in love, in the love of God. Go down deep in that love. Understand it. Comprehend it. Comprehend it. It gives you strength. It gives you stability. All right? That's what he's talking about here. Not only rooted in love, but grounded in love. A large house or some kind of commercial building, again, can be very impressive to your eyesight. But what makes that house strong? The foundation. What it's grounded on, okay? If the foundation is not right, the house begins to settle and cracks show up. Soon the house is in need of repair to salvage it. Paul wanted these believers in Ephesus to be built solidly on the foundation of God's great love. Now, here's the point I'm making. Stability. Confronting challenges in this day and age. It takes strength. It takes stability. Every woman needs a stable man. Women are not stable, fellas. They're emotionally, there's a reason why God calls them the weaker vessel. God didn't waste space when he said that. There's a reason for it. And you know, it doesn't always mean mentally. Man, there's some women out there that are sharp, intelligent. Sometimes IQ is very high. It doesn't mean in their character. I've been through it and over it again and again and again. I feel like my wife's spiritual character is greater than mine. Most marriages are that way. The wife's spiritual character is stronger than the man's. Just we're dirt, fellas. Women are not made out of dirt. Women are made from the rib. We're made out of dirt. Okay, and that's what we are. Unless we think too highly of ourselves, that's what we are. We are given to selfishness and things that sometimes women don't have quite a problem with. When it says weaker vessel, it's not talking about intellectually. It's not talking about their character spiritually. Boy, a good woman is a blessing from God. Look, when it's talking about weaker vessel, it's talking about emotions. The woman is the more emotional creature. All right? The weaker vessel emotionally. All right? What does she need? She needs stability. She needs strength. She needs somebody to hang on to that doesn't waver back and forth, is not tossed to and fro, back and forth. A man should not live his life on an emotional roller coaster. That's what your wife does. She needs somebody that's just like this that she can hang on to for strength and stability. Where do you and I get our strength and stability? Where do we get it? Well, we get it from God. How do we get it from God? One of the ways to get it from God is to comprehend the depth of His love, the height of His love, the breadth of His love, the width and length of His love. His love stabilizes us. We were down there in South Carolina, and we planned this program for the folks' 50th anniversary, and we gave 5 to 7 minutes for each of the boys and the wives just to say a little word to mom and dad. So we went from youngest to oldest, and we interspersed it throughout some other. We had some singing and some other stuff that we did, and the kids doing some stuff, the grandkids. So Tom and Lisa went first, speak 5 to 7 minutes about mom and dad. And Tom and his comments, you'd have thought he was the preacher. You'd have thought him and Tim was the preacher. They went overtime, amen. And Tom and his comments talked about the fact that our home, one thing, you know, we didn't have a perfect home. Nobody can make that claim. But one thing we knew in our home was that mom and dad loved us. Tom made that statement. One thing we knew. So then it came Tim's turn, Tim and Julie. And Tim is probably the least emotional of all of us boys as far as expressing compassion, he's more tight-lipped, my brother Tim is, okay? But he started talking there. He began to choke up. He talked about, you know, the love that was in our home. And he talked about how that, and I remember this, not a night goes by without mom saying to each one of us, Terry, I love you. Tim, I love you. Tom, I love you. He talked about that, choked up about it. He said, not a night went by. Mom didn't say that. Now, dad wasn't as expressive as my mother was. Okay? And then then it came my time to talk. Tom talked so long. Tim talked so long. It was 10:45. by the time it got to me and Joyce. Right before it got to us, I leaned over and I said, say one thing and be done. She talked about 60 seconds. I talked about 120 seconds. It just got too long. But the only thing I said was, I believe with all my heart, the greatest asset to my mom and dad, the home we were brought up in, was the stability of that thing. It was stable. And I never questioned if my dad loved my mom. I never questioned if mom loved dad. I never went to bed wondering if they loved each other. Never. In 18 years, the time that I was in that house, I never one time questioned dad's love for mom, mom's love for dad. It never crossed my mind. It was just, I never thought about it. It was just so there. And that created a stable home that I think has reached down to my wife and me, Tim and his wife, Julie, Tom and his wife, Lisa. My point is, fellas, there's something very stabilizing about love. Love is powerful. And if you and I, as men, as husbands, as dads, as God's men, if we could ever get down to where we understand and comprehend how much God loves us, it would make us stable. There is nothing that can happen to you or me in this life that would separate us from God's love. Nothing. That's how strong it is. That's how powerful it is. That ought to create stability in us. His desire for these saints at Ephesus was to comprehend that which is uncomprehendable. Look at what he says in verse number 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. The breadth. His love is as broad as the human race. That's the love of God. It was pictured by the outstretched arms of Jesus on Calvary. How broad is the love of God? Can you picture Calvary in your mind? That's how broad it is. You know what that is right there? That's all encompassing. Every human of every nation on earth, every human of every country or tribe on earth. And this is hard for us to comprehend, given our biases and our prejudices. And let's be honest, everybody in this room has biases and prejudices. Every one of us. I'm sorry, I can't go to an airport and see an Arab without being biased. I can't help it. Call it what you want it. I can't help it. They're suspicious looking to me. I eyeball them. I don't trust them. You say you're prejudiced. I guess I am. That's human nature. It wouldn't bother me if Israel dropped a bomb on all of Syria. It wouldn't bother me. They will. They will. They ain't going to mess you around. They ain't going to monkey around. Yeah. Yeah. Andy Edwards' dad works in the Pentagon. Can't tell Brother Andy everything that goes on, of course, but has told him enough that the Pentagon, our military understands that Israel is not going to wait for Iran to do something to them. Israel's going to go in with that preemptive strike when they feel like it's time. Yeah, they are done. They're going to do it. And you know what? That don't bother me. Zarqawi getting killed. Amen. And somehow I got to stop and think that as much as I was glad to see that guy die, that probably broke God's heart in some way because God loved him. As much as it wouldn't bother me to see Assad and all of Syria and all the Hezbollah and Hamas blown to pieces, God loves those men. See, God's love has no bias. It has no prejudice. So, the breadth of it. The breadth of it's pictured by the outstretched arms of Christ on the cross. That's how broad it is. Okay? And I got to get that. The length of it. The breadth and length. His love is timeless and changeless. It never had a starting point. And glory to God, it'll never have an ending point. Amen. The length of His love is the same as the length of His character or His nature. When God changes, His love will change. When you reckon that's going to happen? Never.
Amen.
That's the length of it. The depth of it, His love goes deeper than the stain of sin. How deep can sin's stain go? Let me tell you, if you were raised in a Christian home and you kept yourself away from the world, you have no idea how deep sin's stain can go. And those of us that live apart from the world now have no idea how deep sin's stain can go. I told these kids at the youth conference, the truth of the matter is, they've been reared in church, in kept separated from the world and protected. Sometimes they get a little antsy. They want to go out and see what the world's like. It'd scare them to death. If they knew the end, it'd scare them to death. There's some of the most vile things going on now. V-I-L-E, that's the only word you can describe. Vile stuff. Wicked stuff. Filthy stuff. Ungodly, wicked stuff. How deep does God's love go? Deeper than that. You think of the worst sin and the worst sinner. What is the most hideous sin that could be committed? And then realize that as deep as that sin stain goes, God's love goes deeper. Can a homosexual be saved if they repent and turn to Jesus Christ? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. God's love goes deeper than their sin. That's the depth of it. The height of it. His love takes us on a journey that one day will end in heaven. And if we could stand at the foot of God's love and look up like you would a big ladder, that you're a big extension ladder, you would see that it reaches all the way to the throne where He sits and waits the day that we'll join Him in heaven. That's His heart for us. He wants me to come be with Him. That's incredible. There are days that my wife doesn't want me to be with her. It's good for you to be gone. Amen. And yet Jesus wants, God wants each one of us to be up there with Him someday. That's how much He loves us. I think about this when I think about God's love. Length, breadth, depth, height. When Lot separated from Abraham, remember that story? Lot, you, whatever way you want to go, go. So Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan, and then he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and Abraham was left with the land of Canaan, which to the naked eye, it was less desirable by far. It was more desert. But the next day, God told Abraham this. He said, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." And then he said this. I love this. He said, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it." And go in a direction you want to go, Abraham, and that's your land. And when I think of how broad and long and high and deep God's love is, that's what I think of. Fellas, walk through it. Soak it up. God's love is high, deep, broad, long. You can't reach the end of it. You can't exhaust it. That ought to encourage us. It ought to do something for our hearts that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us that much. That's what I'm talking about. And honestly, the Holy Spirit of God has to open our understanding and help us comprehend it because it's beyond human comprehension. But Paul said that he prayed that they could get it. I want you to get it, and I want us to get it too. Let me say, I got a couple minutes left this morning. Let me say about God's love, number six, that His love was expressed in a supreme sacrifice. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. See, the theme of God's love goes all the way through the book of Ephesians, all the way through it. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. He says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." See, love must always express itself in giving. But think about this, fellas. Love is not satisfied in just giving trinkets. Love is not satisfied in just giving trinkets. Love is only satisfied in giving at the cost of sacrifice. Think about that. It's true for you and me. When you go out to buy your child something for Christmas, you don't buy them the cheapest thing you can find. In fact, you've budgeted so much money for Christmas, then you're buying for those kids, and you really have to put the horse, you have to put the reins on the horses of your love because your love wants to stretch that. Right? I remember, this was our 27th anniversary a couple weeks ago. So I wanted to get something for Joyce for our 27th anniversary. We're going to South Carolina. We've done the gifts for my mom and dad. It just ain't there. And I tried to hint, that, well, it's pretty expensive time, pretty expensive year, And probably on the anniversary thing, we're just going to have to play it real close to the vest, And so I went to get something that was very well within close to the vest. And I made the mistake of walking by a jewelry store. I never go to the mall. Why I went to the mall, I don't know. But I went to the mall, and I walked by a jewelry store. I thought, man, I just want to see this. dangerous, fellas. That's dangerous. I went in there, started looking around. I saw those things. And then they're right there to help you. You know, which one are you interested in? Let me get that out for you. Click, click, open all the glass and everything, you know. Here, pull this stuff out, you know. You know, my mind starts thinking about my wife. Then my heart just starts getting bigger and bigger. Then I'm starting to think about that close to the vest, and that vest gets bigger, and that vest gets bigger. And you know what you end up doing? You end up buying something that actually wounds you a little bit. It cuts a little bit. But you don't care. Because love is not satisfying just giving a trinket. True love is expressed in sacrifice. True love is only satisfied in the cost of sacrifice. And when we think of the horror, the pain, the suffering that Jesus Christ went through, the spit, the beatings, the stripes, the nails, you know what I'm reminded of that amazes me? The phrase in Isaiah 53:10 that says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased God that Jesus got what he got. That's hard to comprehend. That's how much he loved us. Love, his love, could only be satisfied in the cost of sacrifice. Deep love pushes to express itself in sacrifice. You ever drive on the way to work? Things aren't going real good. A little bit of turmoil in the marriage. A little bit of turmoil with the child. A little bit of turmoil financially. Reversals, reversals, reversals. God, do you love me? All you got to do is look at that cross. He loved you and I so much that it pushed him to the extreme edges of sacrifice, so much so that he gave his son. And it satisfied God for Jesus to die. It satisfied his love. That's how deep his love is. It pleased God to offer Jesus for our redemption. His love would be satisfied with nothing less than the offering of his son on the cross of Calvary. My love would not be satisfied. Oh, now there are some restraints. If I did what my love wanted to do, I'd spend X amount of dollars on my wife and then be in trouble. But I'll tell you what my love did. It pushed me to the limit. This is what I had planned. And it wasn't going to hurt. But love pushed me to the limit where it hurt a little bit. That's the expression of true love. It's sacrifice. We do that with our wives. We do it with our children. Let's understand. We didn't invent that, fellas. That started with him. He pushed himself to the extreme edge of sacrifice when he gave his son for us. God's love is expressed in a supreme sacrifice. And then let me say this, and I'm done this morning. Look at verse number 25 of chapter 5. We're already there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God's love is pictured as the love of the bridegroom for the bride. Now, what does the bridegroom need? What does the bridegroom want? What did you want when you got married? What did I want when I got married? You know what our want was, fellas? The love of a woman. Let's be honest about it. We wanted a woman to love us. None of us entered into marriage with totally unselfish purposes. We entered into marriage with a little bit of selfishness there. We wanted someone to love us. Is that bad? You know where it came from? It came from his pattern. Because you see, Adam, way back there in the Garden of Eden, was created what? In the image of God. And God said, before chapter 3, before sin came, when all was perfect, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he created a woman to love that man. All right? Brought her to him. Adam was created in whose image? God's image. It was not good for God to be alone. God wanted someone to love him. So, well, he had Jesus. The Trinity is all one. He wanted someone with a free will to love him. So he made us. So he created man so that we could love him. You see, God longs for your love. God longs for my love like you and I long for our wife's love. He longs for our love. And He has extended His great love to us in hopes of receiving our love in return. You know how to make your wife love you? I'll shut her down and tell her. That'll work. No, you make her love you by loving her. You love her into submission. And you love her into loving you. And that's exactly how it is with you and I and God. God's great love for us ought to make us love Him in return. And if we ever get to the place where we're convinced of how... Look, fellas, this thing is not... I am for standards, separation, convictions, right and wrong, absolutes. I'm for all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. If that's the only thing that you govern your Christian life by, your walk with God by, there's a bigger world than that. There's a better world than that. I'm for all those things. But buddy, there ought to be something in us that responds to His love, not just His commandments, His love. There ought to be something in us, like a love of a bride for her bridegroom. Okay? We'll be on a different topic next Sunday, but just hope the lessons about the love of God be a little bit of encouragement to you and a blessing to you. And may God help us to comprehend it and get it. Okay? All right, we're done.